July 25th Infection Control Advisory Board. I'm going to ask that we adopt 10 minutes from the audio recording from last time. There's no objections to that. All right, so let's call to order the members who are on the board. Tara Sparko.
Tara.
Are you present?
Yes, I am. No objections there.
Kat Weisner. We have Sandra Hungry.
Here.
Rebecca Rodriguez.
Here.
Robert Couch here. Rebecca Halliday. She's vacant. Tara Engvall. I believe we received a notice that she was not coming. Is that correct? Jennifer Rylander. Al Shionchetti. Okay, so Kyle and Jennifer are in the pool for the applicants. So they're actually not on the board at this particular moment. The first thing of our agenda is the reports, quarterly reports that come up.
Yes.
And that would be you.
That would be me. Okay, so if you've all had a chance to look at the quarterly reports for the second quarter, April, May, June, and the totals, I'll just point out some high numbers, which would be at-large pets. We're seeing a lot more running at large. Complaints of aggressive behavior. You'll notice also that we're doing a lot more licensing requirements for licensing pets. And the non-service calls, we've talked about that before. I'm keeping track of all calls that our office gets, but not every call results in a case that's put in. It may just be for information. It may be wrong jurisdiction. It could even be for pizza delivery, but it is a call that our dispatcher does have to take and take some time away from other calls that she's taking. You can see where we've issued notices, the penalties that we've collected. We've taken two cases to the hearings examiner, so I'm actually kind of glad to see that some of our appeals have slowed down a little bit. I think that's a testament to officer education and the reality of what a hearing is for and what it isn't for, to manage that expectation. It's not traffic court where you show up and they get a reduction. It's whether you're guilty or not. And if you're guilty, we kind of let them know, really, there's no chance of me admitting this. Don't waste your time. We've also changed the code that says if you come to hearing and you lose, you will be responsible for the cost of the hearing, and that is a significant expense, and it's important for us to let people know that they're exposed to that liability, and most people understand, and we're getting less appeals, which is kind of what is intended with that. The advisory board has heard a couple more tonight, so I want to personally thank the advisory board for taking those on and having that process available to us. It is a cost savings to my department, to my staff, and I just think it gives the public a little bit more of an opportunity to come and tell their story in a way where they are hoping to just get some monetary relief. Licensing is still not where I would like it to be, given how many animals are in this county. So I'll talk a little bit more about education campaign plans to coincide with new software debut. Those are the numbers. They're right there. If you have any particular questions about any of them, please feel free to ask.
I have a couple of things. Would it be possible to get a breakdown of, like, maybe over a two-year period of livestock-related calls and...
Yes.
I mean, we don't, obviously not today, but like...
Yes, yes.
So, and I'm, there's just something that Robert and I had talked about during our outreach that I would love to kind of see a percentage breakdown of that. And then is there any way that, like the animals that are like at the core of these calls, I feel like there would be some value in knowing where those individuals got those animals. And the only reason I'm throwing that out there is that I feel like if, you know, and animals only come to the county, they're born here or they're brought here, right? That's how companion animals come here. When entities are rehoming animals, if there's a missed opportunity for education, like, you know, and there's lots of little groups, right, that are doing adoptions in the area, and it might be beneficial to know where these people who these animals are running at large and all these various things, these cruelty cases and stuff that are unfolding, of where they're actually getting those animals. So it would help us craft our education message and also see if we need to enroll some of the rescue groups that are actually adopting the animals out to say, hey, like 2% of the animals that we've gotten calls in have come from you. Do you think you guys could up your game for education? Because clearly the people that you're adopting them to are not behaving responsibly, and it just might help close a loop. But I certainly don't want to add more work for the officers if that would be kind of like a, oh, we really don't want to have to ask another question kind of thing. But the information, I feel like it could be really useful, you know, out, you know, down, kind of downstream to say like, okay, we're all in this together. We're all trying to save, you know, solve the same problem. And, you know, maybe just we need to up our game or we need to take a different approach. So I don't know if that's something that would be, if anybody has any thoughts that would be of any value.
Well, my first thought is I would probably ask the officers if that is something that they feel that they would be able to, A, ask, get in the habit of asking, and or would they, and whether or not they can get, that people are receptive in giving the information. We can try it, like we can start to ask and see where, how, you know, if we're only getting 2% of the people to answer the question, then
right,
it's probably not, there's, it's not worth it.
Right.
But I don't know, what do you feel?
I feel like it's going to be something where you're going to get a lot of untruthful answers.
Yeah.
Specifically because there's a lot of backyard breeding. There's a lot of just not so.
Do you get the impression that people are automatically sort of like on guard when you guys are there of like, 100%. We're not going to give you too much information?
I will tell you, okay, right now, the majority of the time when I show up to a door, they think I am there to take their animal and euthanize it.
Oh, good.
Regardless of the reason why I'm actually there, they also feel like we are law enforcement, which we are not law enforcement. We inform them of that. So a lot of the time they are very on guard. A lot of the time they don't want to talk to us. And we also sometimes struggle with getting truthful answers.
Okay.
We can definitely ask, but that does not mean what we are being told is the truth.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Makes
sense. I think you might have some better luck in a dangerous dog or bite situation, but not in a, you know, running at large or working it. I don't know. It would be interesting to try, maybe see if we could try and do a trial period and see what kind of data we can get, or how receptive people are into giving that information to see if it's about, if we can collect it and it's valuable.
Yeah, and if there's another way to get that information, if there's another way to access it.
I think Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think if there's a way that you could frame it like could help reduce fines or citations in the future, people might be more willing to part with information thinking like I can be potentially avoiding an issue. I'm getting my dog under control, but maybe there's some situation that could work out with the shelter that they adopted as, you know, a part of that mitigation of the, you know, the dog being off leash or the dog, you know, doing something like the pet being like doing something inappropriate or, you know, potentially something dangerous. They might be a little more forthcoming.
That's a great idea, because a lot of the rescue groups will offer help to their adopters, but not everybody knows that. Not everybody will reach out. That could be a resource.
Exactly.
I know
Oregon Humane Society definitely does. I think Second Chance, I'm not sure if Second Chance Companions does, but definitely Oregon Humane Society. Some of those smaller ones might not, but who knows? They could be in touch with other communities to help. But at least Oregon Humane Society has a pretty good program.
Okay, good.
Does anybody else have a question for Donna?
The only other question I have is there an ETA on the new software?
It is underway. We had our kickoff meeting last week. Some test data is supposed to be sent in by the deadline is like tomorrow. So things are going to move pretty quickly. And I think we got the funding. Praise the Lord. We got funding for 5 years.
Yes.
And so we don't have to, we have a contract for 5 years for this company, the software, and we're excited about it. It has some capabilities for, you know, agents in the community that want to sell licenses. We think it'll be easier to do, which, you know, is appealing to me. If that increases licensing, that'll go hand in hand with rabies reporting. If all goes well, nothing ever always goes well, but if it all goes well, hopefully by the end of September.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, and hopefully I'll have something to report on it at the next meeting in October. So I'm really excited. It's the training part and the timing part is tough because it's busy time of the year for everyone, and we all have to take time out to learn it and try it and test it and implement it. And, you know, it requires chunks of time to do that by everybody, all the staff. So it'll be challenging, but we'll get through it.
Well, congratulations on getting that. Probably a great.
Especially it's such a long-term commitment.
Yes. Yeah, and hopefully with the 5-year commitment, you know, they're not just going to cut you off and say, sorry, you have to start over. Yeah, that might be the year I retire if they say that.
I just have the same question I have each quarter. It's my impression when I look at the data that you present each time that your caseload or your call numbers are everly increasing.
Yeah.
Ever increasing, and I just want to make sure that I'm perceiving that correctly. I want that on the record as well.
Correct. Well, at this rate, I mean, we're, you know, it's just April, May, and June, and July, August, and September are probably going to be higher call volumes, at least a little bit. So we in that quarter, we had, 3,700 plus calls. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you average that out, we're well over 10,000, and we had 10,000 last year. So, you know, unless it really dies off in the last quarter of the year, we're on pace to exceed call volume for last year.
All right, thank you. Anybody else have a question? All right, let's move on. The Humane Society statistics was usually presented by Jennifer Rylander, and she is not present as board member at this particular point, so I think we move on beyond that and talk about the appeals. And I'd like to say for the record that before this meeting started, we had a Leslie Birkenhead come in and testify. Her comments were left on record, and we're going to share those comments with the rest of the board when we address the different appeals that we face today.
However, you do have a quorum, so you can make a decision on that appeal today.
Okay, so
are we going to go off?
We will, unless anybody has anything else. We will go off record at this point and then listen to the Officer Leslie or Officer Daniel, if there's another officer here.
Nope.
All right.
Okay.